This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, we'll explore the world of escape rooms. First up, there are lots of interesting buildings in Greater Cincinnati featuring a variety of architectural styles. Many of these are beautiful structures that originally served as houses of worship. Local writer Rick Pender took a look at some of those old buildings, now serving a much different purpose, in an article published by Soapbox Media. Joining us to explore these old churches and the new lives they now lead are Cincinnati Preservation Association Executive Director Paul Muller, Kevin Moreland, who's the head brewer and partner at Taft's Ale House, and writer Rick Pender. And you can join our conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. And good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for being here.
Hi.
Thanks for having us, Mark.
Yeah, thanks, Mark.
Rick, tell us what caught your attention about this. Why did you decide to write this article?
John Fox, who's the editor of City Beat, actually approached me about writing this, but I also live in Over the Rhine, only a few blocks from several of the places that I wrote about, so I was especially eager once the idea came up to do this. And I guess I would also say that it's a trend that John and I and some others had noticed and had read articles about similar conversions of church buildings in other cities.
Now, from a historical standpoint, Over the Rhine had a big concentration of churches that started, what, back in the 19th century, Rick?
Yeah, about the middle of the 19th century when the really strong immigration of German folks came to Cincinnati. They started building churches to attend, and there were churches on many of the blocks throughout Over the Rhine.
So over time, what's happened to these old church buildings?
Well, many of the congregations, as the city grew, moved to new locations farther out, and those buildings went empty for a while. A few of them may have become a church for another church in need of a space, but that often was for a shorter period of time, and many of them then really fell into complete disrepair, basically standing vacant.
What was one of the first churches in the area? Wasn't St. Paul's in Pendleton?
St. Paul's in the Pendleton district was really, I think, the first one. The Verdon Bell Company converted that very early in the 1980s into what they called a church mart, where they sold things like pews and hymnals and that sort of thing. That didn't work out so well, but they found that the space that they'd created was very desirable, and it's been an event space for more than 30 years now.
Now, many of these new churches that are finding new life as businesses, beer seems to be the common denominator. Is that what you found as you were writing the article?
Absolutely. The two of the three that I wrote about, in fact, are microbreweries that are doing precisely that, brewing their own beers with their own unique concepts for doing that. The third one is being turned into an event space, and I'm sure that beer is going to be served there.
Paul, the term for this is adaptive reuse. Is that right?
Yeah, it's putting new uses into old buildings, which is one of the real driving forces of urban revitalization these days.
Now, how does the Preservation Association view this?
Oh, we think it's phenomenal to be able to find places like the Taft Ale House to so successfully plug in living uses. You know, preservation has changed over the last 50 years from trying to protect precious icons exactly the way they were to finding ways to reinvent the city as we go and constantly make these magnificent buildings relevant in new ways. And I think we couldn't have a better example of it than some of the church reuses.
Now, what makes an old church building ideal or maybe not so ideal for adaptive reuse?
Well, you have to start with what went into building them in the first place. Churches were generally done with the highest level of construction that society could muster, because of their importance to the community, and they were built just so beautifully. Now that a lot of these congregations have moved away, we still have the architecture of them, and they still have their prominence in the urban landscape. So having a use that many people can come to, it still keeps them open to the public, not necessarily for worship, but for some very tasty beer. And that community that happens around these buildings is somewhat of a reflection of the role they had in the past.
That's very much what I heard as I spoke to people involved in each of these. They all were respectful of the past of the building that they were working on, but very much saw what they were doing as a sort of a common effort to bring people together to celebrate.
Now, Kevin, you redeveloped St. Paul's German Evangelical Church on Ray Street in Over the Rhine. Now, what attracted you to that site in the first place?
Well, you know, when you're down in Over the Rhine, you see all this architecture. There's this part of that neighborhood was about more about breweries and family life. And I would say we believed in Cincinnati coming back full circle with that thriving Over the Rhine of the way it used to be. And we were looking for spaces down there. You know, this has been about 3 or 4 years of this project going forward, just trying to find the right location. Friends of friends, we reached out to 3CDC. We kind of seen this space and we reached out to them and said, you know, what's your guys' plan with this building? And they were really in need of a plan. They didn't have a plan. They said that, you know, it is out there available. So I asked to set up set them up and say, hey, I'd like to go in and check it out, see how the inside and everything looks. And that was.
I'd just like to
add. That was all it took?
Yeah. Well,
not quite.
Yeah.
I would also point out that 3CDC had seen that this particular building was deteriorating rapidly, yeah, and they had done some work to stabilize the structure even before Kevin and his partners came forward. So there was a desire on the part of folks who are helping to redevelop Over the Rhine with preserving some of these particularly historic structures.
You know, I think there's one other level of stabilization that occurred before 3CDC's, which was wonderful and very extensive. But even before that, about 4 years ago, the city stepped in and did some stabilization where the trusses sit on the wall. That had a lot of foresight to it. And the city deserves a lot of credit for saying, no idea how this is going to be used, but it's an important structure. It sort of stabilize it and they will come, leap of faith. And now we have the city continuing to do that work, and the land bank is doing that on a number of buildings they don't necessarily have a known use for, but they have such high value, you can just put some money into them so they stay around for someone like the Taft House.
Yeah, it's always a funny question everyone asks us, why we picked that space. Well, I think that space picked us. And that's, you know, as you walk down the street and you walk down Ray Street and you see what is being done on that street, that building has just its own sign. And that's why we don't have a sign on Taft's Ale House. That building is our marker. And once you go into the space, you will understand why we wanted to choose this space. It just has a life of its own. And I would just say that I would say it's God's work is why we're there.
Well, there's a plaque that on the church that you have to tell us about, because that says a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah. I mean, that's pretty much our motto. We're going to use that even more, but I think that's even the way that I brew beer. It's truth, virtue, and freedom. I would just say that those three words, they are in German on the church, but I ask a couple of German historians to give me some more insight on the building. And when I heard those words, that's truly what that building is about, and it's still thriving on those standards of today. The truth is we brew the true craft beer there. We don't nickel dime on our ingredients, and I would just say virtue is, it's about us being to live out our dreams in this facility, and the freedom is to be able to do it in this space and in the city that I love. And I would say OTR has always been close to my heart, so I definitely feel blessed to be in that space. So.
Well, not to mention there's a lot of great history about St. Paul's Church.
Oh, yeah. St. Paul's Church, it's, 1850s. And just to be in the space and actually have a brewery in that space and a restaurant, I don't think anyone ever thought that was going to be, the livelihood of that space. But I'll tell you, we built that place to be world class and to let people from outside of Cincinnati to enjoy it. I mean, when you come to that space, I've been to breweries all over the United States. I've traveled for 13 years. Our vacation is to go try to find the next coolest brewery. So when I'm traveling with my family and my children, they always know that daddy's stopping by some brewery. But like I said, I took a lot of inspiration on what I've seen out there, but what I didn't see, and I've asked our design team to come up with something very special for this place. So that brings us into the Taft aspect of our project. And, the building is primarily the focal point of our brand, and it always will. Like today, we're canning one of our beers today. And if you go by and you pick up one of the cans on the back of it, it shows the actual building and the church. That's our brand, that building.
So the theme is William Howard Taft from Cincinnati,
yes, of course.
27th president of the United States. Yes. Did you do a lot of research when you were thinking about that?
We still do a lot of research, and I would say I did a lot of research, and I would just say how we came up with this is, you know, Cincinnati is dear to my heart. I have two partners, one which he went to school in Cincinnati, and he's originally from here, and he's moved on. But I'll just say, you know, I am a big proponent and always have been of beer in Cincinnati, but also the revitalization of Over the Rhine. So I was wondering how I could actually take that and get it out to the public outside of Ohio. How can I let people understand what Cincinnati is all about? So I was like starting to do some research on Cincinnati, and just Taft just kept popping up with all these serious things. But the guy had this character there's this character of Taft being so much different. So it's like he was a president that really evolved at White House. You know, the first, he had dairy cows out on the lawn. I mean, he had his own farm animals, and you'd see pictures of him riding them. And I mean, he was the first president to actually have an automobile. I mean, those are big facts. And he was like the first president to campaign on train. Well, you know, all of this kind of ties into being different and unique. He was different and he was unique, and he stood his ground. He's like, let's be different and unique. And I would just say that brand, that's who we are.
I can add that as I toured the building with Kevin, I learned a lot about William Howard Taft that I didn't know previously, because they have found lots of newspaper clippings and photographs and things from that era that really give you a sense of Taft, who he was, what he was like, and also of his wife, Nellie.
Yeah. Yeah, Nellie. Oh, she's big in our brand, and I would say she was big in that family. You can tell with all the family and children that they had, and just to kind of be this one-of-a-kind lady. She was definitely involved in Cincinnati with the symphony orchestra. And her, you know, we always get this question asked, was Taft a big drinker? Well, no, he wasn't. but he was a character, and he was a unique character, but he was an important person to United States during his presidency, but also an important person from Cincinnati. But his wife is just, she was maybe that, she had the glimpse of going into a speakeasy every now and again. So I would just say that I don't want to tread too much on that, but I would just say that we've done a lot of history also on Nellie, and one of our best-selling beers is named after the president's wife. And
that's Nellie, the beer that you're canning, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, we're canning that beer today. So Nellie's Key Lime Caribbean Ale. So I wanted to actually infuse who she was, and but also who I am as a brewer. So I really enjoy the Caribbean life, and I love to be in the sun. I think a lot of folks from Cincinnati enjoy that. But I would just say that those two things kind of tie our brand together, is who I am, but what actually our brand's about.
I think it's great you're honoring her with the beer. And, you know, she was a real champion for human rights, too. When he was governor in the Philippines, she ended the practice of segregated social events, which really sort of shocked the colonial powers to be, but it was really her that sort of led that recognition of the rights of the people there.
Well, I can just tell you, you know, guys, as I sit here and I'm sitting with a lot of history in this room, I would just say that I like to take things seriously, but also like to just, you know, have fun with it, because life's short. But I would say us in the beer world is you can make everything much better with beer. So I can just say that beer has always been a part of our culture. But it's been even more about the culture and Over the Rhine, with over 48 breweries built in that and those infrastructure down there.
Now, Kevin, as you've reconverted this church into into a brewery, what are some of the elements that you've incorporated that reflect Taft?
Bigger in life character. Well, we have a big building, we have a big brand, and you know, there's a lot of kind of cliche things out there. But we sat down and I said, how can we actually come up with something that actually honors Taft? So I wanted something that I work on every day that maybe, you know, Taft, the president himself, kind of walked upon. Or so I took our branding team up to the historical site, the Taft Family House, that everyone must go see up on Auburn Avenue, his childhood home. They give tours. So I actually took our branding or our design team through that space, and I just started to just look and feel at some of the architecture there and the graphics and how everything was laid out. And once you come into the Taft's Ale House, you'll see our brewery floors. There's a unique pattern on our floors that we had custom made to make it look like the Taft's historical homes floors. So when you walk in there, the first thing you always look at, it caught my eye right away. It's just this pattern floor that stretches on down through the parlor. It's a foyer way that everyone walked on in that family. I was like, that should be a big part of our place. So when you come to Taft's and you check out our floor, it's the same patterned floor, but in tile, of which the Taft and the family walked on in their home. There's a lot of factors that go to play into that, but all
the pictures and memorabilia.
Oh yeah, there's tons of pictures of him and Nelly throughout his campaign, even when he was Supreme Court justice. You know, there's tons of just stuff you can see on the walls. But there's also things that intertwine Taft and also my belief is the brewery side. So you'll see a lot of history on both sides.
I also enjoy the parlor room that you have downstairs. Off Nellie's tap room is a little downstairs space, and there's a little adjacent parlor with some Victorian style furniture in it that is very much of that era too.
Yeah. So to iterate on that is, I mean, I wanted it to feel like you were in not only a church. I wanted you to feel like you were in Taft's home. So when you go into our downstairs kind of speakeasy bar called Nelly's, we actually have a sign out front that's painted on the windows. It just says Nelly's Tap Room. When you walk in there, it's like you're taking a step back into the Victorian era. So it's something to see.
Sounds really cool.
It is very cool.
We will continue our conversation about new life for old churches. And you can join us at 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Joining us to discuss the former churches that have taken on new lives are Cincinnati Preservation Association Executive Director Paul Muller, Kevin Moreland, who's head brewer and partner at Taft's Ale House, and writer Rick Pender. You can join the conversation at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Rick, as you're writing about this, are you seeing that there are a lot of challenges?
Oh, there certainly
to doing
are.
Something
in fact,
like
the other two facilities that I wrote about in the article both face their challenges. One, in the old St. John's Church over on Elm Street on the south end of Washington Park, and another building rather like where Taft's Ale House is that had really been abandoned for quite some time. They're doing a lot of work to turn that into an event center. But the one that I thought particularly pertained to your question is the one that's now called Urban Artifact. It's on Blue Rock Road up in Northside in the church that used to be called St. Patrick's. And they had actually been quite serious about trying to establish themselves rather like what Taft's Ale House has done with a facility in Over the Rhine. They weren't looking at a church building initially, but a big old warehouse kind of building. The expense of doing that was beyond their means to do. And then they found this church in Northside that really worked for them and gave them the opportunity to move forward.
Yeah, and just to reiterate, I would just say that, you know, as being through it and living through it every day during the build-out phase, it has been one of the most challenging things that we've done, even in, you know, my short life. I can just say that, you know, the amount of just detail on trying to make something of such history work, what we needed to work for functionally as a brewery and a restaurant, there were tremendously amount of challenges with structure, electric, plumbing, you name it. But I would just say that the overall finished product is definitely worth it. And I would just say that as it was evolving, we just started to get this excitement inside of us. It's like, wow, this thing is really going to come to life. And you know, you see these renderings of what we were trying to build with this. They really came to life. And I mean, that's the first time I really seen some renderings truly come to life. And there's a lot of challenges.
That's a great way to put it, Kevin. I think a lot of times when people are looking at a historic renovation or restoration, they only account the expense side of the equation.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to cost more. And I think people overstate how much more it's going to cost.
Yeah.
But when you get to the end of it and you look at the value proposition, what did we end up with?
Yeah.
It's gotten to the point now where our historic buildings really are worth putting back in place, especially in Cincinnati, where we have this phenomenal growth happening, something that's being recognized nationwide. And it's this, the big picture is it's driving what's happening in the city. The excitement is here locally, but it's also recognized. And we have a uniqueness here, both in the architecture and in the brewing history and heritage. You know, and that's what they talk about these days. Find out what's unique about your city and build on that, and so many good things flow from
that. That's a great point to make, and something that I really discovered in this, that, well, other cities may have, you know, great interesting old churches or structures that they're doing these things with. We have this architecture, these incredible historic neighborhoods like over the Rhine, like Northside, where they not only does you can fix up a building like that, but then you're in the context of an incredible neighborhood. I mean, where Taft's Ale House is on Ray Street, that much of that street has been fixed up. The streetcar line is coming through there. That's going to be a fabulous neighborhood.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, Mark and everyone, we looked at it as a definite benefit of the neighborhood being we needed bodies to be able to go in. Everyone's been to Over the Rhine, tried to go to a restaurant and wait two hours on a weekend. And I was just like, this building has the potential to be something very unique. So we have 325 seats and every one of them are used during the weekend times. Mm-hmm. And I would just say that I would say 9 times out of 10 when you ask folks what brought you into this space, it's like everyone comes the excitement of Over the Rhine and the Washington Park, but the beer and the just physically interior design of that structure is it's something to see.
Well, I guess it would be a case too if you have something expansive like what Kevin is doing, it works better. If you're talking about carving an old church up into smaller pieces, that's not going to work so well, is it?
There are a few cases where that's been done nationally, and chapels can sometimes work well for, you know, a small design firm or a house. But yeah, if you're doing a historic tax credit project, which has some the Secretary of Interior standards to it, which the Taft Ale House did, you're not going to be able to subdivide it.
Yeah. And just to reiterate on that is we looked at this tax credit as being also a bonus to us, but I got to tell you, we looked at every photo of this building. And I would tell you, there's some expense to it. But like I go back to, is we had to make this thing look just like it did in the 1800s, in the era of when it was thriving.
We're talking about how former churches are finding new life. My guests are Paul Muller, Rick Pender, and Kevin Moreland. Thanks to Brian Huffner for listening to 91.7 WVXU today. And let's talk with Susan in Cincinnati. Hi, Susan.
Hi there. What a great program. I really am enjoying all this information. It looks like a new place for me to visit soon to have a beer.
Yeah, of course. We'd love to have you.
But with that in mind, I wondered if there was ever any pushback at any level or a sudden upswell of voices when the irony of a beer brewing institution was going to be placed inside the confines of a church. That's my first question. It's just kind of wondered, because sometimes that happens in Cincinnati where the minute an old building that's been otherwise ignored for, you know, seemingly generations, somebody decides to do something wonderful with it, all of a sudden there's a rally cry to preserve it and protect it, even though it definitely will not ever be restored to its original purpose. That's my first question. And then second, I'm sitting outside a wonderful little restaurant in Lockland right now. Lockland is another one of those little gem outskirt areas of Cincinnati. About to go to have lunch at the Bridge House. And just down the street, the Gertz Garden Center just opened up in the old Stearns and Foster building, company building. And they have a farmer's market, Lockland Farmer's Market, that takes place right on in the body of the property there. I'm wondering if any of the churches have been, or those church structures would be considered for an additional garden center or even another market place similar to Findlay Market, but in that other, in a different vicinity.
Okay,
those are my questions. I'll love to hear the talk off air.
Yeah, right, Susan, I'll go ahead and answer your first question about just it was something that was dear to my heart. I do have a religious background. So when we envision taking this space and putting actually a brewery inside, you know, First and foremost, I've asked my family that have faith, and I said, you know, what's your thoughts? And I got some feedback. But overall, I can say that the feedback has been positive. It was a part where I even reached out to some, you know, priest that I, you know, that I truly respect and their opinion, and they're going to always give me their honest opinion. And I would just say that the answer was, across the board, was they'd rather see that space still alive and still have that history behind it and talk about it and being a part of architecture than being tore down, no matter what it takes to make it happen. So that's been the major upside, is everyone's been a big proponent to it.
I may have an answer to the second question.
Yeah, she was wondering about if there are any plans in Laughlin for churches to be converted.
Well, I don't know of any in Laughlin, but if she's looking for a place for a garden center and a church, Our Lady of Perpetual Help in Saddamsville was slated to be demolished, and the city actually canceled the demolition contract and stabilized that one. So it's looking for a use.
And I could also mention that in my research on this, I identified a number of other places that have been turned into various kinds of venues, an artist studio or a recording studio. There's a couple of those in the Walnut Hills area, more of a community center over in Price Hill. So there are lots of things like that, and I hope that maybe we offer some inspiration to others to do things like a garden center. That would be a great idea in one of these facilities.
Let's talk to Greg and Anderson. Hi, Greg.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good, thank you.
I've got a question. You're talking about public spaces and, you know, those type of things, but do you have any information about converting old churches into, like, residential units, like condos or apartments? I mean, is that done? Or
has that been tried?
Yeah, we mentioned that briefly before, but it becomes difficult because churches – for all their space, don't have a lot of windows. In an apartment, you know, you need a certain amount for the different rooms. Plus, building the superstructure inside the church becomes difficult. Chapels and smaller buildings work really well for that. But
and also if you're trying to even benefit from bringing the historic value back and working with historical tax credits, you know, when you start cutting up the inside and start doing things, that's totally, you know, that's not what they want to see. So tax credit would not be available for that project.
So, Paul, what's the future of this? Are there a lot of opportunities for this kind of thing in Cincinnati?
Yeah, I think they are, especially now that people have examples in front of them with the transit coming on, Taft, a lot of the other churches that have been done, people can see those and they can see they're successful. And I think the ones that are out there now that are still looking for people are in much better shape.
Can I mention one also that I'm aware of? It's actually still an active church. It's Philippus United Church of Christ, which is in over the Rhine, just north of Findlay Market. And that congregation is small but mighty, still trying to hold their own there, but they are looking to partner with someone with some ideas for alternative uses.
Paul, Kevin, and Rick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon. Cincinnati Preservation Association Executive Director Paul Muller, Kevin Moreland, head brewer and partner at Taft's Ale House, and writer Rick Pender. And you can read Rick's story, Resurrection, One Time Cincinnati Churches Find New Life by Celebrating Life, along with some great pictures at Soapbox Media. Coming up, more and more of us are discovering escape rooms as a form of entertainment.